The jet flew back to Los Angeles at 6 o'clock. Sarah sat in the front, staring out the window. She listened to the men in the back. Kenner was talking about what would happen next. The dead men were being ID'd. Their guns and trucks and clothes were being traced. And the television film crew had already been found. It was a truck from KBBD, a cable station in Sedona. They'd gotten an anonymous call saying that the highway patrol had been derelict and had allowed a picnic to proceed despite flash flood warnings, and disaster was probable. That was why they had gone to the park. Apparently, it never occurred to anyone to question why they'd got an anonymous call half an hour before a flash flood warning had been issued from the NEXRAD center. The call had been traced, however. It had been placed from a payphone in Calgary, Canada. "That's organization," Kenner said. "They knew the phone number of the station in Arizona before they ever started this thing." "Why Calgary?" Evans said. "Why from there?" "That seems to be one primary location for this group," Kenner said. Sarah looked at the clouds. The jet was above the weather. The sun was setting, a golden band in the west. The view was serene. The events of the day seemed to have occurred months before, years before. She looked down at her chest and saw the faint brownish markings from the lightning. She'd taken an aspirin, but it was still beginning to hurt slightly, to burn. She felt marked, a marked woman. She no longer listened to what the men were saying, only to the sound of their voices. She noticed that Evans's voice had lost its boyish hesitancy. He was no longer protesting everything Kenner said. He sounded older somehow, more mature, more solid. After a while, he came up to sit with her. "You mind company?" "No." She gestured to a seat. He dropped into it, wincing slightly. He said, "You feel okay?" "I'm okay. You?" "A little sore." "Well, very sore. I think I got banged around in the car." She nodded and looked out the window for a while. Then she turned back. "When were you going to tell me?" she said. "Tell you what?" "That you saved my life, for the second time." He shrugged. "I thought you knew." "I didn't." She felt angry when she said it. She didn't know why it should make her angry, but it did. Maybe because now she felt a sense of obligation, or she didn't know what. She just felt angry. "Sorry," he said. "Thanks," she said. "Glad to be of service." He smiled, got up, and went to the back of the plane again. It was odd, she thought. There was something about him, some surprising quality she hadn't noticed before. When she looked out the window again, the sun had set. The golden band was turning richer and darker.